8 weeks ago today, a Eucharistic pilgrimage left from Indianapolis, Indiana, with their sights set on arriving in Los Angeles, California. A massive Eucharistic pilgrimage with a number of pilgrims who were going to walk that entire distance from Indianapolis, Indiana, all the way to Los Angeles, California. This Eucharistic pilgrimage, this Eucharistic procession with the Holy Eucharist and a monstrance the whole way, is a continuation of the Eucharistic revival in our country and the Eucharistic Congress that took place in Indianapolis last year. And so over the course of the last few years, we've increased, so to speak, our devotion to and our education about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And so this procession took off 8 weeks ago with the intent of arriving in LA today on Corpus Christi Sunday, this great solemnity where we celebrate Jesus' body and blood. Along the way, these pilgrims made several stops with the Eucharist. One that I read about that really stood out to me was actually in a huge prison in Texas. It was amazing to read about the devotion with which these inmates actually adored the Lord and received his presence there with them. Amidst the various faithful people who saw this pilgrimage, who met this procession along the way, the pilgrims and the Eucharist also were met with protests along the way. They were met with people shouting out, actually at the names personally of the people who were walking along with this pilgrimage, playing loud, distracting music in the background, and even getting in the way, trying to block the path of this procession. You might think, well, why would this be? And believe it or not, the protests actually came from other Christians. They came from our own brothers and sisters in Christ, but those who do not recognize the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And so when they see us worshiping Jesus there in the Eucharist, they just see us worshiping a piece of bread. They see us being idolatrous. And God is pretty explicit in the scriptures about what happens to those people who worship idols. It's a pretty major commandment for us. And so this is the fine line, and this is really the radical teaching that we have in the Catholic Church. Either the Eucharist is what Jesus says it is, and it is what we believe it to be, his true presence, and we therefore are worshiping the living God, or we're worshiping an idol. We're worshiping a graven image, you could say. Now, the good news is here, we have a lot to back up our belief. And first and foremost, we have the word of our Savior, the word of Christ himself, that tells us that this, what looks like bread, what looks like wine, is truly Jesus' body and blood, soul and divinity, at each and every Mass, in each and every tabernacle, throughout the whole entire world. Because Jesus' word is powerful. We heard it in the gospel today. There's 5,000 men, not including women and children, present in the gospel today. It's getting late. They're running out of food. They have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish, blesses them, breaks them, and gives them to his disciples that they would be given to the people. And all eat and are satisfied. 12 wicker baskets left over. You talk about a powerful word able to multiply that food to feed that large crowd. And then probably just several months after this miracle, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. Once again, he takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to his disciples. And with his powerful word saying, this is my body, and this is my blood. And as Catholics, we simply take Jesus at his word when he says that. That his word, which is powerful, powerful enough to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, is also powerful enough to take bread and wine, declare it his body and blood, and have it be exactly that. But it didn't just stop there at the Last Supper, because we also heard in our second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians that this had been passed on to those people who weren't necessarily in the upper room at the Last Supper. St. Paul says, I hand on to you what was first given to me. And then he describes what happened at the Last Supper, that Jesus took bread, blessed it, gave it to his disciples, saying, this is his body, this is his blood. This is the good news, brothers and sisters. This is the great gift that we get to receive each and every time we come to Mass. This is the gift that we get to pray before in any Catholic church in the world, that we can come to a place like this and see the red lamp above the tabernacle and know that Jesus is physically present there for you, that he's physically present there for me. This is a great sacrament of unity, literally multiple to hundreds of grains of wheat coming together to form the bread, a lot of grapes coming together to form the wine, and then transformed into Jesus' body and blood. And so today, on this solemnity of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, Corpus Christi, I just encourage you to say a prayer of thanksgiving to God for his real presence in the Eucharist. And then offer a prayer for unity. Unity of belief among Catholics, but unity especially among our separated brothers and sisters, those separated Christians who have not been able to come and experience Jesus present in the Eucharist. I think after a prayer like that, the Lord will see to it that all of our brothers and sisters will be able to come here, come to a Catholic church, eat, and be satisfied. For they'll be eating the bread of life, the true flesh, the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, to whom we offer all glory and honor and praise forever and ever. Amen.